say to him, look, I'm much more confident with Elizabeth than the mid-Tudors. Can I do the Elizabeth essay first? Well, you can. But it's 30 marks. It's 60% of his paper. It would seem to me best to do that first. If you look at it in absolutely phrase, then yeah, go to Elizabeth and come back to it, sure. But don't make yourself feel good by spending an hour and 15 minutes writing an Elizabeth essay and then complain when you only get 40% for getting full marks on that. Okay, so we're on slide 16 and we're looking at what the examiner wants. The first thing to say to you is look at the little bubble there. You have a choice. And the first thing you need to do in your 5 minute planning is to decide which one of the two questions you're going to do. Do not see a word and think, yep, yeah, I'm in. If you have any dyslexic tendencies at all, read that question 3 times. And I would say the same to you with the sources. If you've got extra time, then use it to plan as much to write. Yeah? So, with these Elizabeth essays, I think there are 3 traps. So this is tip number 8. You need to know how much you can write in 35 minutes. Can you write 3 paragraphs or 4 paragraphs plus a conclusion? I will be massively sympathetic to you if you don't finish, but it ain't going to change the grade you get. Yeah? It's a bit like in the gym, and you know how much weight you can push or how far you can run. You need to know how fast you can ride, and then the challenge is to make it as good as possible. The second thing to say to you is actually the 3rd bullet point here. Linking and relative importance. I think it's quite easy to move from a high D, low C, to a low A with linking and relative importance. You need to have judgments right the way through. And you might just want to write this down. We want judgments, not assertions. To move to the top of the band, you need to make sure you've got sustained and balanced use of hard evidence. And particularly with these early modern papers, contemporary evidence. They're more interested, ladies and gentlemen, in you referencing that Elizabethan Parliament's averaged 33 acts per session than quoting G.R. Elton's view. Okay? Wherever you can, interact with that evidence and have judgments at it. Tip nine would be to try to have opinions about the evidence and use evidence at pace. The moment you're describing stuff, you're massively increasing your chance of running out of time. And it's a double whammy because it also destroys the flow of your line of argument. Tip 10 would be how you plan it out. Now, if we can just skip forward, please, to slide 19, before we go back to the mark scheme. This is how my history teacher, in a different millennium, taught me to plan this out. You write the question in the middle. You work out what your factors are. You work out what you're going to do in your introduction, which will include flashing your argument. And you're going to work out how your conclusion will be a sustained judgment, not an assertion. Yeah? Some students like to plan both the sources and the essay before they start writing either. Personally, that is what I would do. But my experience is of students, they want to do the sources first because they're really worried about it and get writing on it as soon as they're ready, and then they move on to Elizabeth. You're going to have a mock in November, and I will do a final mock for you in the Easter holidays. Okay? I would suggest you do one technique in one and one technique in the other, and then you can decide which works best for you. Okay. Slide 19 looks pretty obvious, but actually it's very useful. The one thing I would suggest, if you go and look at all the essay plans on heathen history, quite often I've written the tie back in a different colour. What would be your tie back? How are you tying it back? Sometimes students are flagging for energy by this stage. And if that is the case, you need to make sure that you're tying back in every paragraph. Okay, so let's have a look at a top band A and look at slide 17. If we can. And I've literally just lifted this off the OCR generic mark scheme. But look at the first point again. Exactly the same as with the sources. There is a constant focus on the question. Now, here I'm going to come to tip 10, and I want you to write this down. Check the dates. It does seem to me that they are increasingly asking you about a part of Elizabeth's reign. If you look at the 2019 paper, for example, it asked you about Catholicism in a period. Now, I got you to do the Unit 4 question because we hadn't written on that, yeah? Go back to your summer work and have a look at it, and you'll see that it asked about the Catholic threat, I think, up to 1587. So you need to know what's happening when. That is something that is new with this specification, and it will catch lots of students out. Sorry to go back to it, but in the compendium of usefulness, there is a timeline, a sort of generic year-by-year timeline that goes through our entire period from the death of Henry in 1547 to the death of Elizabeth in 1603. Yeah? I'd be looking at that as well on a regular basis. It just reduces your chance of you making that mistake. But look at this, if we're going back to slide 17. Accurate and detailed knowledge is demonstrated throughout the answer. There is a consistently, so you could just, you know, like I always write K next to it, knowledge. They write KU in the exam. Right the way through this, quality evidence. And it's not just there as garnish, it actually develops your argument. There is a consistently evaluated and substantiated judgment. What the CD borderline kid does is they look at the question and they understand it. They write about their factors and then they answer it in the question, in the conclusion. The A and the B grade student will evaluate and answer the question and tie back in every paragraph. And that's something I'm really looking for in your America writing, your Tudor writing, and your Russia writing, please, ladies and gentlemen. In your mocks, I don't mind if you make mistakes because they're mocks, yeah? But in your mocks, I'm really looking for you to tie every paragraph back to the question. I think that's a realistic thing for me to be asking you to do. Okay? Can I just guide you on slide 17 to the bottom bullet point? The information is presented in an entirely relevant and substantiated. What that's saying is, if this kid is just chucking in some description, even if they finished, that's weakening their argument. Yeah? It's flabby. Okay? So, the moment you're doing that, you're in real trouble. Okay? You're excluding yourself from a grade A. And sometimes what you see is the kid that's learned all this stuff, the right question comes up. I've learned this fact, it's going in, whether it develops my argument or not. I call it kitchen sink history.
I'm chucking the kitchen sink in as well. Here's every fact, and I'll just batter the examiner with stuff I know.
If you look at slide 18, I'm not going to spend long on this. This is the generic mark scheme. The examiner's got to make a judgment. Is there a constant focus on the question? Is it mostly focused on the question? Is it generally addressed? Is it partially addressed? Is it really just a general chat? Pretty much that's going to determine where the examiner's going to put you. Yeah? Finally, if you just look at source 20, this is just a little slide that you've seen before. Not all connectives are equal. I'm not interested in the sequencing connectives to build your argument. We're much more interested, you might just want to tick them, on the opinion ones, the cause and effect ones, the emphasis ones, and the contrast ones. It's a lovely little slide, this, and actually very helpful to you. Now, this has been an overview of skills. Next week, we will have a look at a paper, and I'll give you some guidance of some areas that I'm not going to ask you to revise, given the shortage of time. I think we'll finish there. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Pass that back.
Thank you.